Viewpoint on Mormonism, the program that examines the teachings of The Church of Jesus Christ of Latter-day Saints from a biblical perspective. Viewpoint on Mormonism is sponsored by Mormonism Research Ministry. Since 1979, Mormonism Research Ministry has been dedicated to equipping the body of Christ with answers regarding the Christian faith in a manner that expresses gentleness and respect. And now, your host for today's Viewpoint on Mormonism.
Welcome to this edition of Viewpoint on Mormonism. I'm your host, Bill McKeever, founder and director of Mormonism Research Ministry. With me today is Eric Johnson, my colleague at MRM. Continuing in the book, Saints, the Standard of Truth, published by The Church of Jesus Christ of Latter-day Saints in 2018, we now look at the coming forth of what is known as Section 132 in the Doctrine and Covenants. We are introduced to a man by the name of William Clayton, who was Joseph Smith's clerk and scribe.
On page 502, it says, on the morning of July 12th, William Clayton was in Joseph's office when the prophet and Hiram entered. Quote, if you will write the revelation, Hiram told Joseph, I will take it and read it to Emma, and I believe I can convince her of its truth, and you will hereafter have peace, end quote.
Now, remember, this is the same Hiram that we were talking about yesterday who was preaching that plural marriage was an abomination, and he was using the Book of Mormon to prove that point, Jacob chapter 2, verse 27. But he was convinced by Brigham Young that it was actually a commandment from God. So in one sitting with Brigham Young, Hiram completely changes his mind, and now he's all on board with the doctrine of plural marriage. So at this point, Smith is going to be writing down the revelation, and as I mentioned earlier, that's going to become Section 132 in the Doctrine and Covenants.
You do not know Emma as well as I do, Joseph said. That spring and summer, he had been sealed to additional women, including a few whom Emma had personally selected. Yet helping Joseph choose wives had not made obeying the principle easy for Emma.
And we need to restate this. Emma seems to be going back and forth. I would say she was probably more against it than she was in favor of it. And when it says that he had been sealed to additional women, including a few whom Emma had personally selected, well, just in reading that, certainly what that implies is there were probably several that she didn't select.
Well, we know that Joseph Smith, before he married the Partridge sisters and the Lawrence sisters, he already had 16 wives, and she knew about none of those. It continues on, the doctrine is so plain, Hiram said, I can convince any reasonable man or woman of its truth, its purity, and heavenly origin. We will see, Joseph said. He asked William to take out paper and write as he spoke the word of the Lord. Much of the revelation was already known to Joseph. It described the new and everlasting covenant of eternal marriage, along with associated blessings and promises. It also revealed the terms governing plural marriage, which Joseph had learned while translating the Bible in 1831. The remainder of the revelation was new counsel for him and Emma, addressing their questions and current struggles with plural marriage. The Lord revealed that for a marriage to continue beyond the grave, the man and woman must marry by priesthood authority, have their covenant sealed by the Holy Spirit of promise, and remain faithful to their covenant. Those who met these conditions would inherit glorious blessings of exaltation. Quote, then shall they be gods, because they have no end, the Lord declared. Then shall they be above all, because all things are subject unto them, end quote. The Lord went on to speak about plural marriage and his covenant to bless Abraham with an innumerable posterity for his faithfulness. From the beginning, the Lord had ordained marriage between one man and one woman to fulfill his plan. Sometimes, however, the Lord authorized plural marriage as a way to raise up children in righteous families and bring about their exaltation.
Now, that's obviously a reference to Jacob 2 in the Book of Mormon, because that's what it says in Jacob 2:30. It says that really the only excuse or the only exception for plural marriage to be accepted would be to raise up seed. But when it says sometimes, however, the Lord authorized plural marriage as a way to raise up children in righteous families, where? When did that ever happen? When did the Lord ever authorize plural marriage for that to take place?
You certainly don't find that in the Old Testament. I mean, when we have Abraham and Sarah and Hagar gets involved, there's no place anywhere that it talks about God saying that. It was Abraham and Sarah deciding amongst themselves.
And that is the example Mormons will often use to show that Abraham was commanded to practice this, but yet it doesn't imply that at all in the passages that Mormons like to use as a proof text.
The book continues on page 503. Although the revelation was directed to the saints, it ended with counsel for Emma about Joseph's plural wives. Quote, "Let mine handmaid, Emma Smith, receive all those that have been given unto my servant Joseph," the Lord instructed. "He commanded her to forgive Joseph, stay with him, and keep her covenants, promising to bless and multiply her and give her reason to rejoice if she did. He also warned her of the dire consequences that befell those who broke their covenants and disobeyed the law of the Lord."
Well, let me stop you there, Eric, because this is the area of section 132 where actually this warning that is given was pretty serious. I mean, when we read in verse 54, it actually says, "And I command mine handmaid Emma Smith to abide and cleave unto my servant Joseph and to none else. But if she will not abide this commandment, she shall be destroyed, saith the Lord, for I am the Lord thy God, and will destroy her if she abide not in my law."
Do you think Emma knew about this years later when she later denies that polygamy ever took place? Because obviously, even the book admits Doctrine and Covenants, section 132, is not about a celestial marriage many Latter-day Saints may think of one man and one woman. It refers to plural marriage.
And it's interesting you bring that up because I have had Mormons argue that section 132 isn't about plural marriage. I'm glad to see that the book puts that argument to rest because it admits it is about that. Oh yeah, sure, it's also about marriage in eternity, but it is talking about plural marriage. You would think there would be no reason for Emma to fight against this if it was merely the idea that she was going to be with her husband Joseph alone for eternity. Why would she be against it? Why would Joseph Smith feel necessary to put this kind of a curse against his wife in verse 54 if it was only talking about being married for eternity? I can't imagine Emma having a problem with that if the one she's going to be with for eternity was only her husband Joseph. The fact that it included other women certainly is what was behind Emma's problem with this teaching. And I admit, she's probably a very confused woman regarding this. I'm sure Smith is probably telling her all sorts of things to try to get her on board and allow him to go on doing what he's doing. But as we can see, and this book tends to bring it out, she waffles back and forth, not knowing what to do with this teaching, so much to the point that Joseph Smith has to put this threat in verse 54 of section 132 in the Doctrine and Covenants.
If you go on page 503 in the Standard of Truth, you would think that Emma, if she understands that Joseph has the ability to give a revelation directly from God, that that would be something that she would receive and accept. But this is what it says in the book. When Joseph finished dictating the revelation, William had filled 10 pages. He put down the pen and read the revelation back to Joseph. The prophet said it was correct, and Hiram took it to Emma.
Let me just stop you very quickly there. It's a 10-page revelation, but Joseph seems to dictate this from memory? We get the impression the Lord's not speaking to him about it right there by revelation. He seems to have this in his mind. Call me skeptical, but I have a hard time believing that.
Page 504, it says, Hiram returned to Joseph's office later that day and told his brother that he had never been talked to more severely in his life. When he read the revelation to Emma, she had become angry and rejected it. Quote, "I told you you did not know Emma as well as I did," Joseph said quietly. He folded the revelation and put it in his pocket.
Now, this is only a few months after Emma allegedly goes along with polygamy and allows her husband to be married to not only the Partridge sisters, but as we also know, it was also the Lawrence sisters, Maria and Sarah. You can see how she's going back and forth on this. The book is trying to bring out that, yes, she saw what her husband was telling her. She seemed to agree that what he was saying was coming from God, but almost immediately she reverses herself on that, which tends to show us that this is a very conflicted woman, and I can't blame her. I can't blame her at all.
toward the end of Emma's life, her son, Joseph Smith III, went to her February of 1879 to ask her about polygamy because he was the head of the reorganized church that's based in Independence, Missouri, today known as the Community of Christ. And he interviewed his mother about this because a lot of the Mormons from Utah were saying he did participate in polygamy, and Joseph Smith III said no, based on what he believed his mother had told him. Listen to the interview that's found in Mormon Enigma that was written by Linda King Newell and Valene Tippetts Avery, page 301. Joseph asks this question: what about the revelation on polygamy? Did Joseph Smith have anything like it? What of spiritual wifery? There was no revelation on either polygamy or spiritual wives, Emma said. And then she went on and said, there were some rumors of something of the sort, which I asked my husband. He assured me that all there was of it was that in a chat about plural wives, he had said, well, such a system might possibly be if everybody was agreed to it and would behave as they should, but they would not. And besides, it was contrary to the will of heaven. Emma continued, no such thing as polygamy or spiritual wifery was taught, publicly or privately, before my husband's death that I have now or ever had knowledge of. And then Joseph Smith III asked, did he not have other wives than yourself? She replied, he had no other wife but me, nor did he, to my knowledge, ever have. Why is it that Emma Smith is lying to her own son years later, lots of time to think about it, something that would be easily shown to be true, it could be verified, and yet she denies it. Is it because that she accepts polygamy even at this day? No. Over all the years, she never accepted it.
It's interesting, too, that Jan Shipps, who is a non-Mormon, but she is known for being a historian concerning Mormonism, I think she used the word that Emma was in the habit of forgetting. That was the word that she used. But yet, it sounds to me, based on what you just read there, that what Emma is doing in that interview is outright lying about this. If what we've looked at from this book is true, Emma was very well aware of not only the quote-unquote revelation, she was also aware of what her husband was participating in. She was upset by what she knew her husband was participating in. In other words, this doctrine affected her immensely. So for her to say what she says in that interview, I don't know how you can conclude that she's not lying about it.
We've been saying this all week, and I think it bears repeating. Joseph Smith was not a virtuous man. He should not be elevated by Latter-day Saint people as being a man that people should look up to.
Thank you for listening. If you would like more information regarding Mormonism Research Ministry, we encourage you to visit our website at www.mrm.org, where you can request our free newsletter, Mormonism Researched. We hope you will join us again as we look at another viewpoint on Mormonism. Unprepared to engage Mormon missionaries when they knock on your door? Perhaps the book Mormonism 101 will help. Mormonism 101, published by Baker Book, available at your favorite Christian bookstore.